And good morning. Welcome to today's Pride Report, brought to you by Nevada Regional Medical Center. I'm Mike Herbert. Thanks for joining us, and also, of course, a part of our public affairs programming here at 97.5 FM, Double K Country, as we're going to be talking with the folks from Nevada Regional Medical Center today. And, of course, as the weeks and next few weeks, I'm sure you're going to be hearing a lot more about the hospital district, and we're going to have a proposal, and we'll be talking about that again on today's program. So, as always, we'll shoot to Jennifer Eaton, who will tell us, you know, he's no stranger anymore, but tell us about our guest today.
Oh, yeah, of course, I brought back with me Jason McCormick. He's serving as our interim CEO.
All right, very good. So, Jason, always good to have you back. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mike. It's always good to be here.
You bet. You brought the Colorado weather with you, at least the time we're recording this. It's warmer when this is airing. But
definitely. It was cold there this weekend, and it's cold here now.
All right, so let's talk about... First of all, I'm sorry, we need to shoot out there. We're giving this as information only. This is not a program that's asking you to vote either way, but this is a program that's going to provide information in regards to the hospital district. And Jason, you've been doing exactly that with some community meetings, along with, I'm sure, some other people as well. So how's that been going?
Been going very well. We've had a lot of attendance at the two meetings that we've held. We have more scheduled. The conversation has just been absolutely terrific, talking about the past and current conditions, issues, and about this topic, and just learning about what the community expects of their healthcare system.
All right. So again, for information today, tell us exactly what are the voters really deciding on?
They're deciding on who will own the hospital, who will own and operate it. In the past, the hospital has been owned by the city. It's a component unit. It's a subsidiary of the city. And so it's a decision. There's really no benefit to the city to own the hospital. I mean, what do they get out of this? Just a bunch of headache. And in fact, at times when the hospital has poor financial performance, it causes the city to have to pay more if they're going to do a bond issue for a public works project in their interest rate. So there's really no benefit, I think now is the best time to ask the question, to move the ownership to a different entity, because we're coming to a point here where the bonds will be paid off. People don't realize that. I mean, there's only, $6 million outstanding. If this passes, I'm sure we'll come up with the money, pay off those bonds, and move forward. And so people are looking very hard at this. The hospital board and leadership and everyone, and saying, what is the best solution going forward, given not what's happened in the past in healthcare, but what's happening in the future. And a hospital district will be the most efficient, most effective way to provide healthcare in this community and maintain local control and ownership.
So I guess the question might not, in this world of consolidation we live in nowadays, why not just have somebody else take it over?
Well, when you're speaking of somebody else taking it over, that would be a not-for-profit entity out there. The for-profits really are retreating. The healthcare industry is a very bad industry. The cuts in reimbursements for Medicare and Medicaid, it's just most organizations are lucky to operate at a break-even bottom line. And so not-for-profit, surprisingly, it costs them more to operate a hospital than a governmental entity. They have to pay more in interests on bonds, capital bonds. They have to provide community benefit in lieu of tax. There's a variety of things that are advantages to a governmental entity, a hospital district, versus a not-for-profit entity. And there's several other things. I mean, let's look at Fort Scott. When Fort Scott, the hospital over there, was owned by a not-for-profit entity, and all of a sudden, without community involvement, that hospital was closed, and it decimated their economy. It decimated healthcare over there. So, when you give away ownership, you give away the right to decide what services do you have, what do you remain open in the future, and things of that nature. And people assume, well, in the past, these things haven't happened. Healthcare makes money. Why wouldn't they want to operate an entity? Well, the government actually has grants out right now to close hospitals. They want fewer hospitals. They definitely want them to be less than 30 miles apart, preferably at 60 miles apart. So successful hospitals, if we look around us, the successful hospitals are districts. Mm-hmm. We have two neighbors. We have some over in Bolivar and things of that nature. There are several hospitals. Most hospitals that are in, you know, owned by the community are no longer city or county hospitals, they're district hospitals. So,
you know, you probably don't remember this, but I was at a meeting the first get together. This has been a couple, 3 months ago now. I actually asked you that question if there were area examples of this, and you said yes, right up the road, and they're very happy they did it.
Yeah, and I would add that, you know, we already have experience with this. For the last 30 years, this organization has been managed by an outside entity, two different entities, in fact, one being a regional healthcare operator. And, you know, when we say the hospital hasn't been managed or hasn't done well or whatever, you need to realize it wasn't managed locally. Mm-hmm. It was managed by somebody outside of the community. The turnaround focused on bringing that in-house and teaching the board how to govern and having the hospital board manage the CEO and the organization. And that's where, in the last 2 years, we've seen a strong improvement and movement forward in improving the organization.
Sounds like the radio business. Local ownership is always better. Yeah. So, now let's talk about the tax in itself. What have you learned that the voters need to know?
So there's a lot of concern. They hear that, you know, it's $1 per assessed value. And what we've learned is the language says up to a dollar. It doesn't mean every year it's going to be a dollar. In August of every year, like all the other districts around us, they have to certify the tax levy for the following year. And they will decide based upon the financial condition for the previous couple of years, where they sit, what the budget looks like for the coming year. There will be community input. So I don't want people to panic and think, oh my goodness, it's going all the way to $1 per 100 assessed value. We're giving the new board a range to deal so that they can deal with whatever comes down. I mean, the federal government's made it clear they're no longer going to pay 100% of healthcare going forward. And local communities, if they want to maintain healthcare, they're going to have to participate. The other thing is a lot of people think that their market value is what the tax is going to be on, and that's not correct. It's the assessed value. You have to look up your statement, and in the bottom right-hand corner, that should say assessed value, move the decimal point two positions to the left. Then you have to ask yourself the question, what do you value? Do you value money? Do you value healthcare? Do you value a strong economy? That's what the question comes down to, and we leave that to people to decide. We just want them to be informed. Let's see. There are tax credits available for people who have incomes. If you're elderly, a vet, or disabled, and you have an income less than about $30,000, you can get a tax credit from the state of Missouri to pay for your property taxes. That's good to know. And property taxes are deductible on your state and federal income tax. It actually costs less for a person to earn the money to pay a property tax than it does a sales tax. I know sales tax keeps coming up as being a more favorable solution, but when you do the math and you look at, you know, you have to, it gets you coming and going, as they say, right? And so you have to pay taxes on the money when you earn it, and then you pay the taxes. And so property tax, because they're tax deductible, makes property tax cost less. The final thing I would say is I know people don't like property taxes, but they hate one thing more, and that's called insurance premiums. Mm-hmm. And they're not cheap. Most people pay in 1 month what they pay in property taxes for the full year.
So let's take a look at a specific segment, and there's a lot of talk about this, you know, not just in this issue, but several issues. But why should people, and especially those who have wealth, look at this as a positive?
No, this is important because, you know, people want to know why is this tax approach fair? Well, number one, we can't do a sales tax. The statutes do not allow a hospital district to assess a sales tax. We can only do a property tax. But property tax is proportional to a person's wealth, their income, how much property they own, vehicles, things of that nature. And, you know, even people who don't own like a house still pay tax on a vehicle or campers or things that they own. Everybody eventually pays for it. But, you know, wealthy people have the most to gain and the most to lose by having a hospital. When a hospital is in a community and it prospers, the whole economy prospers, there's more business going on, things of that nature, and that benefits them and it makes it possible for them to pay the tax. And as we see in Fort Scott, when it pulls out, those businesses struggled significantly and property values went down and things of that nature. So there's a very serious impact. When we look around even Missouri, the communities that are prospering have a large healthcare footprint. And that's the situation here as well, as we have a large footprint already, and the baby boomers are retired, we're going to have a larger footprint. And we just need the resources, or we need to have somebody who owns it, who can make decisions and be able to borrow the money to repair the buildings and equipment, move it forward. And when the hospital is successful, local business is successful too.
All right, very good. So good information today. And you mentioned, Jason, before we cut you loose, that you've been doing these community meetings. You've been involved with several people in this. And you, as you said, there's more to come. So this is on the April 7th ballot. So there will be more information out there as we go through the next month or so.
Lots of meetings, lots of information being shared, conversations had, so everybody's fully informed and make an educated decision by April.
I'm sure if somebody has a question, you're not too far away by email or whatever to address to answer their question.
Correct.
All right, very good. All right, thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Jason McCormick, interim CEO at Nevada Regional Medical Center, talking about, providing some information about the proposed hospital district at NRMC. And we'll go back to Jennifer to talk about some of the fun stuff that's going on.
Yeah, so for the month of March, we have a couple community education and events going on. Starting next week through the whole month of March, as supplies last, we'll be offering the free colon test kits again this year in recognition of Colon Cancer Awareness Month for March. Those are sponsored by the NRMC Foundation. And like I said, they're a take-home kit. You'll just come in through the main lobby up to the information desk, sign a simple consent that you want to pick it up, you take it home, mm-hmm. Do it discreetly in your home, and then you can either mail or bring those samples back by for our lab, and then the results will get mailed to you. Dr. Colby Smith, it will be doing a lunch and learn session for us on the importance of cancer screenings. He'll be covering, I believe, colon, breast, prostate, so a little bit for both men and women. That'll be on Wednesday, March 18th, and we will hold that up in our mezzanine conference room from noon to 1. We would like to offer, if you want lunch, to please give me a call and register so we can save you a seat, 417-448-3710. If not, they're free to attend. You're welcome mm-hmm. to pop in, bring your lunch, and eat over your lunch break. And then, sounds like it's a long way off, but it's really not. Our Caring with Pride Golf Classic for the Foundation will be on Friday, May 8th. Out at the Frankie Peters Golf Course.
All right, so we'll hear more about that as time goes on.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. All right, appreciate it. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
That is today's Pride Report, again brought to you by Nevada Regional Medical Center as a public affairs programming of 97.5 FM, Double K Country. We'll talk to you 2 weeks from today at 8 o'clock in the morning, just after ABC News. Until then, thanks for joining us for the Pride Report.